on this edition of The Self-Publishing Show.
At the end of the day, you're telling a story, and you're telling that story whether you're writing fiction, non-fiction, a sales email, a cover letter, you're telling the story of you. And the same principles apply in terms of clear and concise writing that engages the reader and makes them want to carry on reading.
Publishing is changing. No more gatekeepers, no more barriers, no one standing between you and your readers. Do you want to make a living from your writing? Join indie bestseller Mark Dawson and first-time author James Blatch as they shine a light on the secrets of self-publishing success. This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Yes, hello and welcome to The Self-Publishing Show with me, James Blatch.
And me, Mark Dawson.
We are finally, slowly emerging from our lockdown burrows out into the open. Went for a nice walk yesterday in the woods with the dog a little bit further from home. Drove there. Not strictly allowed in the rules before, but they are allowed now. You can go out as many times as you like as long as you've got a good reason. Our cricket club nets opened on Saturday with strict rules in place. 10 minutes between sessions, have to book them, no more than two people. No more than one per household. You can have someone else not in your household, but only with one other person, and you mustn't come within 2 meters. And you're not allowed, you've got to play with your own balls. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to touch the other person's balls, but you can kick their balls. So the batsman can kick the ball back. This is like a batting cage, the cricket net. Once you've sort of played your shot, you can kick their ball, but you're not allowed to pick it up and throw it back.
Are you allowed to apply saliva to the balls?
Definitely not. Unless they're your balls, then you can do
okay.
that.
Okay,
and
excellent.
I'm going to play tennis this afternoon with my son, and that's similar rules. Yeah, all these rules are there. Sort of feels like this might be the new normal for a bit, but some of the figures, we'll just do a little bit of COVID at the beginning here because it's obviously the subject that's in everyone's mind. Some of the figures in the UK, the death toll went down quite a lot, although Mondays is normally a spike because the stuff comes in over the
Sundays
weekend.
Sundays and Mondays are slow. Tuesdays is a spike.
Yes, Tuesdays is a spike. But the number of new infections at the end of last week in London, and one day they said they had 24 new infections, and there used to be four figures a day. So that's a dramatic difference if that's the case. So some normality approaching, but normality will not be what it was before until we have some sort of way out of this vaccine sort of solution. So a lot of things we've talked about people having more time on their hands, people being at home more, probably are still going to apply for some time yet. Okay, let me say a very quick hello to some new Patreon subscribers who have come along, and they are called Heather Kelly, who is in MA, which I think is Massachusetts rather than Maine, I think, in the USA, and Paulina, have you seen this name?
No, I'm just counting down to see how long I have to wait before you let me say anything. Three minutes and 15 seconds so far.
Yet?
I said hello, and then I made a joke about
What have you got to say?
Oh, well, you know, we don't have long enough really to go into what I have to say. No one wants to listen to me, James. They want to listen to you. You're the expert.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't think that's true. I can't even say this. Paulina Sierra. Siwiera.
Oh, I'll have a look. I'm not going to say anything. That's quite hard.
Paulina Sierra.
Well, we're very grateful.
We're very grateful, Pauline.
Even though we've butchered your surname, Paulina, so apologies.
Thank you so much indeed. They went to patreon.com/self-publishing.
Patreon.com. What's wrong with you today?
Yeah, I know. Well, because people say Patreon, don't they? Everyone says Patreon. I listened to an interview yesterday of Graham.
That's Linnan. Because the site is called Patreon. It's not called Patron.
I know, but I've been saying Patron, haven't I, forever?
No, you've said Patreon.
You banged your head today. No, I think I say Patreon. Anyway, that one. Say it how you like.
You say potato, I say potato. Let's call the whole thing off.
/self-publishing show. Thank you very much indeed for being a part of this show. We have a very exciting webinar coming up. So I should say our bestseller course was a roaring success, written and presented by Susie K. Quinn, best-selling author here in the UK, who really nails down those key ingredients of why some books sell, some don't, to help you with your work in progress or your next book. And it flew off the shelves like hotcakes. And we've decided to double down on this. So we're going to do as much as we can around the subject. It's obviously a thirst for knowledge here. We have set up a webinar, which will be on May the 27th, where Susie will go through some of those secrets of the traditional publishing industry, or publishing generally, that you can take away with you and start to form your commercially orientated manuscripts, manuscripts that people are going to want to buy, and try and create those best-selling series, the thing we're all trying to do. That will be on May the 27th. So it's a nice, easy URL for you to remember, selfpublishingformula.com/May27, May 27. So I'm going to put that out there today for registrations for the first time. I expect that to be a busy webinar. Susie will be presenting it alongside me, and we're going to learn those things. It's great. I mean, you know, the secrets. Some people in here will think about this stuff all the time. Other people work in their own little bubble. And I know this because we get emails from people and conversations at conferences. People say, this is what I'm working on. And often you sort of find yourself trying to be as polite as possible and say, how many other people are writing a book like that? And who's your model? And what's your commercial journey here? Because you're writing something I don't think there's a market for. You know, sounds interesting, but if you want to make money out of it, that's a whole different way. And what Susie does is it pushes all that BS, all that self, I'm doing it for me type thing, and just narrows down to what readers want, which is how we should start this process. Then, of course, the trick is to find something that you like writing and want to enjoy writing, because that's got to be a part of it, right? You can speak.
Yes.
Now.
Oh, thank you. That's nice of you. Yes, that is 6.5 minutes before I get to say something. Yes. Yeah, that's pretty much how it breaks down, I think. And it's a good course. Susie's done a really good job. We've had, well, 4 figures in terms of people signing up for it, which we were very pleasantly surprised about, which is great. So that will be a good webinar to go to. And speaking of webinars, I was talking to John this morning about the Amazon Ads webinar that we're giving. I don't know the date now, but it's kind of moot at this point, because there's no point even mentioning it, James, because we've had 3,500 registrations. We knew it would be busy. We can only have 1,000 people on the webinar. So it will be, if you've registered for that webinar, there's 2 things I would say. Get there nice and early, so you can be in the webinar room 15 minutes before we start if you want to. Maybe James will come on and do some juggling or something. We can talk about balls or whatever puerile nonsense we want to distract you with until the actual webinar starts. The second thing is, we will probably do a second webinar towards the end of the Ads for Authors launch. Now, I don't know when that will be yet. We'll make sure everyone knows, so that there's another chance to come and see that live if you don't get into the room the first time out. But I knew it would be busy, and I've seen the courses coming together now, the Janet Margot's course on Amazon Ads, and I'll be adding some stuff in there as well. And it is looking really good. It's very thorough. It's very detailed. There's, I think, 18 modules, and each of those modules is broken down into sessions. There might even be more than 18 modules, to come to think about it. So it's going to be a really good one. And I've seen the content that Janet is going to be covering in the webinar, and that's really good too. So it's definitely one. If you've signed up, you should definitely try and come along to it. If you don't get in the first one, don't worry. We'll do a second one to make sure as many people as possible can get on board.
Okay, excellent. Good. Well, we've got a brilliant guest on today. We got a guest who I was genuinely excited to speak to, a bit of a celebrity, although you probably don't know his name. His name is Chris Banks, and you will be familiar with him, or many of you will be, because familiar with his work, I should say, because he is the man behind Pro Writing Aid. And Pro Writing Aid is one of those tools that floats about for a bit, and I think it's a bit like Vellum. At some point you try it out, and the moment you try it out, you realize its value and you realize how it can fit into your workflow. He's a really intelligent, interesting man who thinks a lot about how it's being used. All those questions that people have about these type of tools, that are they going to homogenize all our writing? He thinks about this stuff all the time and how the tool can be adapted for the different needs. So it's a really good interview about what's available now with Pro Writing Aid, how you should use it, and teasingly, what's coming in the future. Which is very exciting. So let's hear from Chris Banks, then Mark and I will be back for a quick chat off the back.
This is the Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Chris from Pro Writing Aid. Look, we don't often see some of these tools that we use, Scrivener, Pro Writing Aid, Grammarly, Author, and then we'll talk about the differences in a bit. We don't always see the people behind them. And here you are. Are you the person behind Pro Writing Aid? Is it you?
I am, for my sins.
Well, it's a household name in the author community, and it's a, I have to say, very well regarded tool. I wasn't really sure, like most people, what it was, how it worked. Downloaded it on my manuscript and immediately became a fan. Like almost everybody, I think, who gets into Pro Writing Aid immediately saw the benefit of it. It does throw up some interesting questions, and you've alluded when I asked you for some notes for the interview. One of them is about changing writing style, ending up with this homogenous writing style, which I think is a small threat, but it's an interesting area to talk about. But let's move on to that later. First of all, why don't we describe what Pro Writing Aid is and how it works?
Okay, yeah. So I think that it's interesting you say a lot of people don't really know what it is before they come to it. I think people are familiar with the concept of spell checker and a grammar checker. And so Pro Writing Aid is something that goes well beyond that. So it does include spell checking and grammar checking, but the idea is that it's more of a teaching and feedback tool. So the idea is it helps you where you need it, which is on your writing. So you know, most writing advice you get is without the context of your own writing and experience. So it's very hard to then relate that specifically to what you're writing at the time. Whereas Pro Writing Aid is giving you real-time feedback on your writing and providing resources for learning at the same time. So the idea is that you might not know it, but nobody's a perfect writer, right? And nobody in the world wouldn't benefit from learning something. You know, I always say, even top tennis players, top football players have coaches. And there's a reason for that, because you need an outside feedback mechanism. And so the idea is that Pro Writing Aid is that. It provides you with feedback on your writing. It helps create a positive feedback loop, where it's questioning the things you're writing. It's making you think, is that the best way that I could be expressing the ideas that I want to get across, and it's helping you achieve a better level of writing through that.
Yeah, and that's an interesting observation at the beginning about you get taught, you read stuff on how to write and how to use good grammar and all the rest of it, but as you say, doesn't take into account what you're actually doing. What Pro Writing Aid can do quite quickly is surprise you with things you didn't know you were doing, like repetition of words and so on. So it's feedback, as you say, directly on what you're doing.
Yeah, and I always think, again, I really love sports, skiing and tennis. And one of the key things for me when you're trying to improve at sports is getting feedback in terms of a video image of yourself. Because what you find as soon as you see video is that what you're doing
it's not what you
in
think.
Your life is completely different from what you actually think. Yeah. And that's a similar idea with Pro Writing Aid. It's giving you that outside feedback. And as you say, it throws up things that you didn't even realize that you were doing. Things that you repeat, phrases that you overuse all the time. Your penchant for the passive voice, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm pretty certain I do look like Alberto Tomba in real life, so don't video me and disabuse me of that image. Okay, let's talk about how it works then. So when I got it and I was reading through the instructions, the first thing I noticed is it works better in chunks, so maybe a chapter or a scene at a time rather than the entire, it can do the entire manuscript, but it seems to work better. So you'd load up a chunk of text, and we'll perhaps talk technically about how it links in with Scrivener, etc. later. But you load up a chunk of text, let's say a scene, and then what is it going to tell you?
So again, it really depends on what you're writing. So there's different reports that are designed for specific types of writing. And we have things that are specifically for fiction writers. There's reports on dialogue and dialogue tags, on pacing, not putting too much backstory in all at the same time and creating a kind of blockage for your reader. And there's also reports that are aimed for academics and for business writers as well. Even if you're just writing an email to your publisher or trying to get a publisher, we can help with that as well. There's a wide range of reports. There's about 20 reports, and it's very much at the beginning, a kind of a learning experience, like which reports work for you. and your particular writing style, because I think everybody has their own strengths and weaknesses. So there's a summary report, which is a great place to start, and that runs a broad selection of all the reports, and then it aims to give you key actions, which we think are the main things that will help improve your writing. And that is a theme that runs throughout the tool, is that we realize that people only have a certain amount of time to work on whatever they're writing. If it's an email, it might be a couple of minutes to improve it. But if it's your novel, you know, it might be that you want to invest a lot more time in improving it, so you'll go into greater depth. But we always try and point you at the areas of your writing where you'll get the most reward in the least amount of time. So that might be, you know, we run a readability check that runs per paragraph, and that will point you at the paragraphs that have the poorest readability. We have a report that runs something called sticky sentences, which is one of my favorite reports, and that points you at specific sentences that the reader might find hard to read. And so the idea is, you know, within the amount of time you have, you can then focus on the things that will gain the most from your attention.
Yeah, and behind all this is some obviously quite technical artificial intelligence that's reading sentences, spotting things that humans would find more difficult to read and suggesting a more efficient way of reordering the words.
Yeah, I think a lot of what we do actually, you can do yourself. You know, say for instance, you know, passive voice, you could go through your entire document and you could find every instance of the passive voice and say, okay, I'm going to rewrite this in the active voice. But that would take you a long time, right? Because you'd have to read through the whole document and underline every passive voice and then edit it. Whereas you can run our passive voice checker and it will do it in, you know, 3 seconds, what it would take you, the time that it would take you to read your whole document through. So, you know, and similarly with other things, you could go through and find every adverb in your text and then look at changing it. Whereas what we'll do is we'll go through and we'll highlight every adverb and then we'll suggest replacements for the adverb and verb combination to help you. And that saves you the time of having to go away, you know, find the adverbs in the first place, and then get out of the thesaurus and think, okay, what is a good combination that will give me a stronger verb so I can get rid of this adverb? Okay. Similarly, with the readability, you could, you know, by hand go through and crunch all the numbers on how many syllables in a sentence and then work out the readability yourself, but you'd end up wanting to kill yourself because it would be so boring. So we're just taking a lot of the work out of the process of editing. You know, the investment is, or the saving on, of your time is huge. And that's the aim, right? Is to you know, it's not supposed to replace a human editor, but it's supposed to help you improve it before you send it to an editor, so that you get more value from the editor as well. And you don't lose yourself in the editing process, which I think can happen to a lot of people, that they spend so much time in editing that in the end they just give up because it's such an overwhelming task.
Yeah. Yes, I know that feeling. So the question then arises, and this is something you identified yourself as a talking point, is if we all use Pro Writing Aid and we all accept more or less the offers of reordering sentences, is it going to dampen down our individual voice, the spirit in our individual voice, and homogenize all our writing?
The answer to that is definitely not. It's not designed to homogenize writing. And what we often do is we just take what the meaning that you've created and help you reword it into a better form. And actually sometimes we can't even suggest how you should reword it. So for instance, sticky sentences, all it's doing is saying this sentence needs looking at, and then it's up to you, because often to fix sticky sentences requires a bigger rewrite of the sentence than a machine can actually do. So there, as I said, it's, you know, it's designed to as a positive feedback loop. So it's taking your style and helping you amplify it and make it more impactful. It's not taking it and, you know, turning it into this sort of homogenized commodity writing.
Does this work for all types of manuscript? What about nonfiction?
Yeah, definitely. As I alluded to earlier, there's reports that are for all different types of writing. And I think people often think of nonfiction and fiction as very, very different. But at the end of the day, you're telling a story. And you're telling that story whether you're writing fiction, nonfiction, you know, a sales email, a cover letter, you're telling the story of you. And the same principles apply in terms of, you know, clear and concise writing that engages the reader and makes them want to carry on reading.
Yeah. And of course, actually, the best nonfiction is very close to fiction, I think. And Darva Sobel's books of biographies and Claire Tomlin's Samuel Pepys biography, and thinking about books I've read. And I think in my mind, almost like a novel. So actually, it's going to help nonfiction writers nonfiction writers might also fall into groups less writery, if you like. You know, they're passionate maybe about a subject rather than most of us want to write. And so this could be a particularly helpful tool, I think, for them.
Yeah, and for instance, the pacing, I think, is particularly pertinent to nonfiction because you do fall into that trap of basing it a lot on facts, whereas the thing that makes nonfiction interesting is the kind of action and that is harder to integrate, I think, almost into nonfiction, because you have to sort of bring that more out of your imagination.
And what about those brave souls who write in a very stylized way, who want to go for kind of on the road Kerouac type thing, or Dr. Seuss, you know, children's books that have particularly flowery language or poetic language? Is at some point prose writing aid not going to be suitable?
I think that some reports will stop being useful for certain types of writing, but you'd be amazed at the number of people who are using it for writing poetry.
Even. Wow.
It did really surprise me to find that out. So it's kind of gone beyond almost the bounds of what I thought it would be useful for when I originally, you know, started creating it.
And how does it work in terms of the use? So most people write in Scrivener. I think as far as I can tell, the kind of standard workflow for people is they often start in Scrivener. They end up moving to Word because editors tend to like Word. So at some point they're working in Word, maybe back from the proof editor. So do you copy and paste from these different platforms, or is there an integration?
No, we always say that people want to write where they want to write, right? And there's hundreds of different writing environments out there. Some people like sort of minimalist, some people like the power of Scrivener. As you said, editors often prefer working in Word because that's what they're used to. So we take the approach of we'll try and integrate to as many places as we can to make it as easy as possible for people, because the less friction there is in having to move your writing around. And everybody knows that experience of kind of copying and pasting something and suddenly all of their formatting's disappeared and then they have to spend, you know, an hour restoring it all, and it's a waste of everybody's time. So we have a desktop app that opens up Scrivener projects, so you can just work in sync with your Scrivener project. We also integrate with Word, so we have a plugin for Microsoft Word. We have browser extensions, so for Chrome, Safari, Firefox, Microsoft Edge. So we try and take it to wherever you're writing and make it as easy for you to use the product as possible.
Good. We should also say how much it is. I know you have, you do discount it from time to time, so it's worth looking out for that. But what are the price points?
So we have a year license, which is 70 US roughly. And then we also offer a lifetime license, which is something that a lot of people don't do. I know a lot of people don't like paying like annual subscriptions. So we've got a lifetime license at $240. And that includes all of the kind of upgrades over the lifetime of the product.
So tell me a bit about the company itself, Chris. Is it, and where the sort of the genesis was. Was this your idea?
Yeah, I think it... We probably had a very similar experience. I recall reading something that you wrote where you said, you know, you started off, you spent 3 or 4 years learning how to be a successful writer. And I had the same frustration when I started trying to write a novel. I'd done a lot of writing previously in jobs, but it had all been business writing. Like I say, it was all driven by a background in consultancy and research. And then I started trying to write creatively, and I realized, wow, this is really different and really hard. And again, I read lots of information about writing, creative writing, and I was like, well, this is, how am I going to keep all of this in my head? And so I decided, well, I'll create something that keeps me in check, right? So it will look at what I've written and say, oh yeah, you've forgotten to do this or you've forgotten to do that. So it just started as a sort of little hobby. And then it's kind of grown and grown from there. So that was about 7 years ago. I decided to focus on it because I broke my ankle and I couldn't, my wife and I were supposed to be doing a ski season. And I obviously couldn't ski with a broken ankle. So I was like, well, what am I going to do? And I said, okay, well, I'll focus on this because I'm finding it really interesting. And I put out a free version at that point and started getting feedback from people that was very positive. And then it's grown from there. And so now we're a company of about 25 people, all working on improving the product. And it's going really well.
What sort of technical background did you have?
I had a mixture. Obviously, I've been writing a lot of research, and that involved a lot of data analysis. And obviously, so some of that involved using computers. So I had that background, but obviously with the writing combined. So it was sort of that combination that allowed me to create a tool to help myself.
That doesn't sound to me like you had a sort of software programming background. How did you set about creating, or did you instruct coders to do this?
No, I did it. I started myself, and I've had some. So for instance, when we were doing research, we put out these big reports, that were sometimes kind of 200 pages long, but they had a lot of kind of formatting. So we create tools to help us do all the formatting and automate all of the boring side of writing these large reports. So I'd learned more of the technical side through doing that. And then this is kind of a natural extension of that. So instead of just doing the formatting, it's actually helping with the text as well.
Yeah. Now, what about the future, Chris? There's a lot of talk about AI at the moment, and there's other tools coming up into the market now that can apparently tell you whether your novel aligns with best-selling novels in terms of its pace and structure, that sort of thing happening. Occasionally, someone pointed this out to me, to how to spot them, but occasionally you'll read a small news article somewhere on the web or even in a print newspaper that actually has been written by an AI, usually in the financial sector. So a computer can read a press release and turn it into a bit of copy for a newspaper. So are we getting to the point where your type of tool can do even more in terms of perhaps generating some of the story? Do you think that's down the line?
I don't think we'll do more in terms of generating stories with creative writing. But I think that where we want to focus, and the area that I find particularly interesting, is the idea of computational creativity. So that's basically using a computer to inspire a human. So if you plugged in an idea and said, okay, I've got this idea where my character's walking through the forest, right? Then the tool will help you expand that idea. It will help you add richness to that idea, because that's what computers can do. They can kind of go out and do a big search of lots of different things and bring it all together and give you that information. So I always like to think of an example of a vineyard. So if you were writing something set in a vineyard, you'd brainstorm kind of the words associated with a vineyard, and you'd come up with the first 10 probably fairly quickly, and then the next 10 it would take you twice as long, and then you start to get really stuck at what else can I say.
Yeah.
Whereas a computer can go out, it can read like 1,000 articles about vineyards, it can extract all of the terminology and the phrases from those articles, and it can bring them all together and put them on the screen for you. And you can immediately say, oh, I hadn't thought about, those words. Imagine all of the words that you see when you're reading a wine menu that wouldn't naturally spring into your mind, right? So it's kind of like crisp, autumn blossoms, and
sawdust.
But And it can bring all of those words together and give them to you so that you can then take them all and weave them into your story. And then you're creating a story that's got richer imagery, which will be more captivating for your reader. And for me, that's one of the difficult bits about writing is coming up with that vocabulary, right? Mm. Is that the vocabulary that's on the edge of the vocabulary that you use every day, and helping people to access that vocabulary, I think, will make writing a lot easier for them.
And do you see this down the line as being a separate product, or are you going to build on the platform you've got?
I think there's two possibilities. I think we definitely want to build that more into the core product. But the broader research side of things, I think, might form a separate product as well. A kind of earlier stage product where you're actually at the beginning of the writing process, because at the moment the tool is more towards the end of the writing process.
Yeah. Well, we should mention one of your, I guess, seen as a competitor, which is Grammarly, who I can tell you just by watching YouTube, spend a lot of money on social media advertising. So they have quite a high profile, paid for high profile. I know lots of people do use Grammarly, and there's a free version as well, isn't there, I think, of Grammarly still? Was there? Certainly used to be. What is the essential difference between Pro Writing Aid and Grammarly?
So I think, for me, Grammarly is more on the side of the traditional grammar checker. They do some things around style checking, but it's more of an insurance policy. I think people use it because they don't want to make a mistake, right? They don't use it because they want to produce a much better end product. So it's, taking something from potentially incorrect to okay, right? Whereas our focus is much more on taking something from okay to good. So helping you beyond grammar checking, to produce a much better manuscript. And that's why we have this wide variety of reports that allows people to dig into more depth certain areas of their writing. So Grammarly is a very homogenous tool that just looks at your writing and gives you one check, which is the grammar and style check. Whereas we allow you to go into much more depth and learn a lot more about what you're doing with your writing. So I think what Grammarly does is a very small part of what we do.
Yeah, I mean, I let you answer that, but I could have answered that question because I've used both, and I'm a big fan of Pro Writing Aid. And actually, it's chalk and cheese. Once you start using Pro Writing Aid, you understand what that product does and how it can help you. And Grammarly is just, as you say, a small part of that. It's an enhanced spell checker that does a little bit of grammar. And frankly, I think Word does grammar as well, doesn't it? Always has had a feature in there. So
yeah, and I think it's interesting because it goes back to where we started this, where you said, people don't understand what your tool is. And I think that's, grammar checking is the path into starting to use the tool. And a lot of people discover Pro Writing Aid because it incorporates grammar checking. And then they realize how much more it can do. And then that's when they start to get the real benefits from the tool and they become advocates of the tool.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that does happen with Pro Writing Aid. I think the people who use it become advocates of it. And I see that in our community in posts. It's it is something once you start using, people become firm fans of. So I would I'd recommend people have a dip into it. Do you do a free trial or anything like that? I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, we realize that everybody wants to write, and obviously some people don't have the financial means to be able to tell their stories. We have a completely free version, which just has limited functionality, so you can't use any of the add-ins, but you can use it on the web, and that works for a lot of people. And then we have a premium version, which gives you access to all of the plugins and unlimited word counts and those kind of things.
Okay, and apart from Googling Pro Writing Aid, which I'm sure will get to you, where's your home on the web?
ProWritingAid.com.
Which makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Good. And easy. Well, that's what it says on the tin.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't do anything clever there, too clever. And you're writing yourself, Chris?
I write every day, obviously, as part of my job. The novel has kind of taken a bit of a back seat.
Oh, so you and I really are quite similar in that sense. Except it was my wife who's got a broken ankle in there from skiing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there are some similarities. But yeah, so your novel's on the back burner at the moment.
Yes. But I'm still adding little bits to it here and there. So one day, I think when Pro Writing Aid is fully formed,
Everyone's
grown up and left the home.
Yeah, everyone's talking at the moment about this enforced, because I'm in isolation, you're in Spain, you're in isolation, and this period, now you can start your writing and do stuff. But for in our particular jobs, almost nothing changes. In fact, I'm busier at the moment just doing my day job, but the writing will, I will get to it. Like you will, I'm sure, at some point. Great, Chris. Well, look, it's really, really interesting to talk to the man behind a product that I'm familiar with, and I know lots of people are, and I hope lots of people listen to this particular episode who haven't heard of Pro Writing Aid, but will have a look into it, because I do think it's something that enhances your writing. I think it really does. And it will point out things you don't realize you're doing wrong that just get in the way of you telling the story, just stop you. Those clumsy sentences, which we all write from time to time, and they look quite beautiful. And you don't have to accept every change that's offered by Pro Writing Aid. It would be my advice in using it. It is a case of reading. And sometimes you might want to leave something in there that Pro Writing Aid has pointed out to you is not quite right for your own reasons, because it's esoteric. It may be colloquial or something. But it's good to know that, to make that as a positive decision, not as an accident.
Yep, and I do it myself. Sometimes I ignore our own advice.
Yeah, there you go, from the man himself. Well, Chris, thank you so much indeed for joining us today. It's been it's been really interesting. And as I was saying, I hope people who have not heard of Pro Writing Aid will give it a try, because personally, I think it's something that really can enhance your writing.
This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Yeah, do you use Pro Writing Aid, Mark?
I do, yes. Not extensively, but it has a couple of purposes that I do like to take advantage of. So it's things like word echoes. I find one of the weaknesses in my writing is I will include the same word, and it doesn't even have to be an unusual word, just like the word building. If you have the word building in two separate sentences, when you might be, it might be more graceful or elegant to have an alternative the second time you use it. Sometimes, you know, if I notice it when I'm reading through, I'll change it. But oftentimes those will just pass me by. And one of the things that you can do with Pro Writing Aid is to ask it to look for repeats and echoes, and it will flag up instances of the same word within a proximate location of another instance. And then you can change it. So it's really good at that. It's, I mean, in a kind of a, if I had an ideal workflow, and it never really works like this, but kind of, I think a really useful thing to do would be to run a manuscript through your beta readers, and then run it through, well, copy editor first of all, then your beta readers. I then put it through a proofreader to make sure that I haven't introduced new errors in the edit. But I think a useful thing to do would be perhaps after that to then run it through Pro Writing Aid, or perhaps before the proofreader. Just gives it another filter to go through before you you pass it to a final checker, and then you put the book live. I think that would be a very valuable inclusion in a workflow.
Yeah, and some exciting stuff in the world of AI, which I know you're not a massive fan of, but there's, you know, in the technical world of analyzing,
well, I am, when it's done properly.
Yeah, well, we'll see. All coming down the line. Chris Banks, what a really interesting guy. I wonder if we should do, well, definitely if he's got time, he's the sort of guy we could do more with in the future, potentially even a webinar on. I think using, there's a lot, probably a bit like Scrivener stuff under the bonnet and hidden away in the menus in Scrivener that people don't always realize. Probably it was without question the same with Pro Writing Aid. So I'll get back in touch with Chris after this interview. I know this interview is going to go well. Yeah, it's funny those words. I mean, you say that, and that's good self-awareness. But it does jar more when it's a slightly more unusual word, isn't it? Someone picks up, and you find that actually quite often in writing. I mean, Dan Brown, who's, you know, and I know he's always used as the joke author on it really annoys me on films and TV episodes. Oh God, do you read Dan Brown? And every editor you ever speak to loves him, because they understand how hard it is to write a book that you can't put down like that, quite rightly. But you read his books, he does, you know, and I think you use the same expression actually in your early Milton books. Milton or your characters never got in a car and drove off. They always gunned the engine.
That's a lazy cliche.
His character definitely gunned the engine every single time he got into his car for a bit. But lots of authors do that, and it's technology now enabling you, because it's a big unwieldy thing, a manuscript, right? It's 100,000 words if your one's half the size of mine. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's a daunting prospect to think, looking at this Word document or Scrivener and thinking, I wonder if I repeated a few words. You do need you do need technology to help you.
The only way you can pick it up yourself is if, I mean, the times it makes me grit my teeth is when I'm listening to one of my audiobooks back. And when you listen to it that way, it's very obvious. So you can actually get your computer to read the book back to you. And that's a way of catching those. But for me, I don't really have time to listen to a robotic voice for 8 hours to read through a book. So any way that I can abbreviate that process and make it more convenient is a win. So the Pro Writing Aid enables you to do that. And of course, it does tons more than just that. There's lots of things that it does. But that's just one particular use that I've got a good value out of.
Yeah. Excellent. Good. Well, thank you very much indeed, I should say, to Chris Banks, our guest today. We'll definitely try and do more with Chris if he's amenable. I think from memory, he was down in Spain or somewhere. I think it's where he lives now and was locking down as we started that interview at the beginning of this process. That's how long this has been going on, because our interview sits for a few weeks on the shelf. Starting to creep into that era. You're going to start to hear COVID mentioned in the interviews a bit more. Changes our landscape, hasn't it?
Just a little bit. Yeah, this is the first full day I've had in the office for about 2 months. So we've got a tutor in for the kids, and she came in today this morning. I just had a text from my wife saying it was amazing. The kids have done all their work before lunch. They're now sitting in the sunshine. It just goes to show they won't listen to us. No, and they'll moan and complain when we tell them to do things. But you introduce someone who's they don't know and they're not going to be rude to, and amazing things happen. So that's probably the best. I don't even know how much it's costing us, but it's not cheap, but it's going to be the best money that I think I've spent for some time.
That's how that works with parents and outsiders. Yes. Oh, the other thing I was going to say is that we don't know at this stage. It's still very early days as we come out of the strictest measures as to where the conferences are. I think Thrillerfest are already gone online.
I'm being interviewed for that next week.
There you go. So yes. they're doing an online version of it. As far as I know, NINC and
NINC is deciding in July.
Yeah, so they've got a plan in the background what's going to happen if they don't take place physically. And at the moment, 20 books, as far as Craig is concerned, is on in person in Vegas, live in person in Vegas. But we'll keep you up to date with those as they develop. Good. Well, have you got anything else to say?
I think about conferences, we should be thinking about what date we look at next year, shouldn't we? We should.
Yes. We've had an initial chat with Amazon about that,
and they're very keen to be involved again. They were generous enough to give us a nice chunk of money last time, but they couldn't come because the edict came down from Seattle prohibiting anyone from traveling. So they've been working at home for longer than we have. But they are interested, they want to sponsor again, and they want to come this time. So we are looking, I think it'll be the summertime, won't it? It'll be kind of summer next year, which is going to be a little bit of a gamble for us, because we could book the venue and be responsible for paying for it. But then if we have to cancel it, we won't have any insurance. So
yeah,
it's going to be an interesting time for people in live events, I think.
And we are looking, because of the size and scale of it next year, we are looking at venue costs of around $75,000, which is a reasonable chunk of change to lose if we don't go ahead with it. So yeah, food for thought. Okay, well, we're working on that in the background, and again, we'll let you know, of course, as soon as there's tickets available for that. Okay, Mark, thank you very much indeed. I think all that leaves me to say is that it's been that it is in fact a goodbye from him
and a goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
Get show notes, the podcast archive, and free resources to boost your writing career at selfpublishingshow.com. Join our thriving Facebook group at selfpublishingshow.com/Facebook. Support the show at patreon.com/selfpublishingshow. And join us next week for more help and inspiration so that you can make your mark as a successful indie author. Publishing is changing, so get your words into the world and join the revolution with the Self-Publishing Show.